Turn with me, please, in the Word of God to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just want to read a number of verses, really, this morning. And really, as we come to look at God's Word, we're looking more at the whole subject of the resurrection and its implications on the world and on us, say, in the present day. Say, we're not just looking, really, at one verse or one passage here this morning. We'll be referring to a number of others. It is good to be back with you here this morning. As Ronnie said, back at the end of February, I thought that was the end. I thought you'd seen the last of me for some time. But before I was getting into the car that night, I had two meetings booked for around Easter time, indeed, for the Good News Club Parents Night on Tuesday night past, and then for this morning or today here as well. But it is a great joy and a great privilege to be back with you again. Do remember the evening service. I know many are away, but I trust that you will be along again for the gospel service this evening. Encourage others to come along. Indeed, what a message we have to proclaim. Well, yes, throughout all of the year, but as we think of Easter time, and indeed the fact that our Saviour, that He is alive, and how important the world hears it in the present day. Do indeed invite others along this evening, come along, as it says, we come to continue to praise the Lord and indeed consider His word. But this morning, say, we're just reading just a number of verses in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 20, and say, just reading a number of verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul, he is writing and say to the believers in Corinth, some of them hadn't really, or indeed many of them, it seems, hadn't grasped the real truth of the resurrection. And verse 20, he says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." We know God will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts this morning. The true story is told of a man who became a Christian in Africa. Some of his friends, whenever they met him, they asked him the question, "Why have you become a Christian?" Say, but back in the days, whenever many in Africa didn't know anything about the Lord, and say they wanted to know as to why he left, indeed, the religion that he belonged to, and why he had become a Christian. He answered with these words. Well, he said, it's like this. He said, suppose you were going down the road and suddenly the road forked in two directions and you didn't know which way to go. And there at the fork in the road there were two men, one dead and one alive. And he simply asked a question to those who had initially asked him a question. He said to them, which one would you ask which way to go? I know the answer indeed is very obvious, for we would ask the one that is alive. And indeed, that's the wonderful truth of this Easter Sunday morning, as we meet here together to worship the Lord, to consider the Word of God, that as the popular saying goes, the King, He is alive. And indeed, today we're not thinking of the one that many people in the world think of whenever they say that saying, because really what we're thinking of is the King of Kings. The wonderful truth that He is alive today. And say the great news today, and it ought to be on the front page of the papers and the main headlines on the news on television, is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Death could not hold Him. But yet whenever we think about all this and those hours before He rose from the dead, how it all looks so different. And especially for His followers who didn't seem to realize that Jesus Christ would rise from the dead as He said He would. And really that's what we were thinking with the boys and girls this morning. So say it's a bit like way back many years ago. I'm sure we have all heard of the Battle of Waterloo. That battle, it was upon the issue of which hung the destinies of Europe. The English people, they were anxiously awaiting news of the result. Back in those days, there was no internet, there was no mobile phone to send text messages or anything like that. And their only means of communication was a system of signal lights which would be flashed across the English Channel. However, whenever the battle was over and the people in England were waiting for the message, the fog became so dense that really only part of the message that was being sent over by light, only part of the message was made out. And it simply read these words, "Wellington defeated." As a result, gloom settled upon the English people who got the message, but I'm sure you can imagine their joy whenever the fog lifted. And whenever they received the whole message was simply said this, "Wellington defeated the enemy." And how lovely it is that on this Easter morning, as we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that happened in Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago, it wasn't the death and the end for the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, the full message is the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. And today he is alive, because today the wonderful truth is that he lives in the power of an endless life, and he lives to make intercession for all who put their trust in him. And therefore today, as we come and as we consider the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are three very simple things that I want you to note with me, really implications of the resurrection, why it is so important to us, why we ought to focus on it so much, and why we really can rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ is alive today. First thing I want you to consider with me this morning is this, that it has authenticated Christ's ministry on earth. The resurrection was so important because, as I say, it has authenticated Christ's ministry on earth. You see, today there are many people who refuse to believe all that the Lord Jesus Christ said whenever he lived on the earth. In fact, there are people today and they're not saved because they don't believe all the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and whenever he lived on this earth. But the wonderful message of the resurrection today is that because Jesus rose from the dead, we can believe everything that the Lord Jesus Christ said whenever he was alive on this earth. Luke chapter 18 and verses 31 to 33, we read these words. It says, "Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." You see, many times whenever the Lord Jesus Christ lived in this world, did he speak of Calvary, and did he speak of the fact that he would rise from the dead? And whenever we look at the Word of God, and whenever we consider Calvary, whenever we consider the resurrection, how we can only conclude that everything that the Lord Jesus Christ said was truth. Indeed, that's something that we're told in the Word of God, but yet, as I say, there are many people in today's world, and maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you feel that maybe you've been dragged out to church, you're here, and you'd rather not be here, because what's going through your mind is that everything that Jesus said could not have been true, but yet, today, that you would grasp this most important truth. That as Jesus Christ, he lived in this world, that as he walked around the people, as he spoke to the disciples, what he often spoke about was the fact that he would go to Jerusalem, there he would be crucified, and that he would rise again from the dead on the third day. And oh, how today we can rejoice that everything that Jesus said concerning him going to Jerusalem, dying on the cross, and then rising again from the dead on the third day, to say it all is true. What it tells us is that everything that Jesus ever said in this world
his truth. And as I think about this today, is it not that it's a challenge to those who are not yet saved? It's a challenge today to those who are still out of Christ, because really, whenever we consider the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it he often said? What was his message as he lived in this world? His message was that you must repent. That indeed there's a hell to be shunned, there's a heaven to be gained, and if you never put your trust in him, that you're going to go out into a lost eternity in hell. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke far more about hell than he did about heaven. He talked about how hell is a real place. It's a real place of torment. It's a real place of great anguish, a great place of agony. It's a place where there'll be great wailing and gnashing of teeth. And how today you need to realize that if you're not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and that's the very place that you're going to end up at. What is it Jesus said? He said in John chapter 3, he says, "Ye must be born again." He also himself said, he says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." As I say, as we look and as we think today of Calvary, and as we think of the resurrection, and as we think of how every word that Jesus said concerning them came true, how today we can be absolutely sure that every word that he said concerning hell and concerning heaven, that every word is true. If you're not saved, well then you're going to go out into a lost eternity in hell. And there you're going to be in torment forever and ever. So it's a challenge to those who are unsaved. And today that you will come to the risen Savior. That you will put your trust in him and know that indeed that one day that you're going to be with him in heaven. His words as well are a challenge to us, for those of us who are saved. Because is it not that as the Lord Jesus Christ lived in this world, he talked about the Christian life? He talked about how we are to live our Christian life, that we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He talked about how we're to take up our cross and to follow him. He talked about how we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all of our strength. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's talked about the Christian life, he talked about how it ought to be wholly committed unto him. It's not to be lived in a lethargic way. It's not to be living in an apathetic way. It's not to be lived in a way where we say, well, we'll take certain words of Christ and we'll adhere to them, and other parts we'll just set to the side and say, well, maybe it doesn't apply to us. The teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, they come to us who are saved as a challenge today. And indeed, that we would live our lives totally surrendered unto him. Yet as I think of all of this, is it not as well that it's a great encouragement to us? As we think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's much that is there to encourage us. Because as I think about his words, I think of the promise of how he will preserve us. He says in John 5 and 24, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And John chapter 10 and verses 27 to 29, he said these words. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand." As I say today, what does the resurrection do? It authenticates Christ's ministry on earth, and in his ministry he's promised that all who trust in him, that they shall never perish. That there's no condemnation to them which believe in him. See, what a truth for those of us who are saved today. Yes, we're to live our lives surrendered unto him, but is it not that we feel him in our lives?
And whenever we feel him in our lives, is it not that Satan wants to get into our mind and to discourage us and to say, oh, you don't deserve God's salvation. Oh, you've let him down big time today. Oh, you're a total failure. You surely now all you deserve is hell. And how there are so many believers, I believe today, who are going round with great guilt in their hearts. And they're not enjoying God's so great salvation. Because what is it they're thinking? They're wondering to themselves, oh, am I really saved? Oh, will I really get into heaven? But what is it Jesus himself said? He said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What a truth today. That nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God. Oh, today there's much that Satan wants to try and make us think that we are separated from him. But praise God today. That as Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Indeed, that in his words, we can believe every single one of them. And today we can take great encouragement that for those of us who are trusting in him, that nothing shall ever separate us from him. Oh, today we think of the promise of his preserving. I think today as well, of as we think of his ministry on earth, I think of the promise of his presence with us. Matthew 28 and verse 20. And just before he ascended unto the Father, what has he said? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And again, is this not a wonderful promise for those of us who are saved today? That he never leaves us alone. That he never sets us on the road and says, right, off you go. I'm going to let you go on your own the rest of the way. Oh no, as we go through life's trials, isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is there with us on that road. And he's there to help us. And he's there to guide us. And he's there to direct us through all of the way. Say there's the promise of his preserving, the promise of his presence. There is there is the promise of his provision. Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he goes on to say those wonderful words and all these things. What were they talking about? They were talking about clothing. They were talking about all the things that we need in our life, our food and so forth. He says, and all these things shall be added unto you. He doesn't say they might be added unto you. He says they shall be added unto you. Oh, we're living in days of great uncertainty, are we not? Well, we're living in days where things have changed for so much people. The recession has affected so many people. So many people are wondering about business, about their own business. They're wondering about their future. But because the Savior has risen today, oh, we live with the promise that he, the risen Savior, will meet our every need. Because he's the one who is able to do that. And as I say, he's the one who will always look after us. The promise of his preserving, his presence, his provision. There's also, from the words of the Lord himself, the promise of his peace. How good this is to have in a troubled world. John 14 and verse 27. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. You see, that's where we can find our peace today in a troubled world. It's through trusting completely in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the one who is sovereign, that he's the one indeed who reigneth over all things, that indeed that the world is not out of control today, that indeed he's the one who has created all things, and today he's still in control of all things. And therefore, as I say, that's why in this world we, the people of God, that as we watch the news headlines and as we look at the news headlines and think to ourselves at times that the things seem to be so out of control that we can see the full headline. That indeed that our Savior is risen. And he's in control of all things today. The promise of his preserving, his presence, his provision, his peace. And then we think of the promise of his power. Matthew 28 and verses 18 to 20, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then we follow this up with Acts 8, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where he himself said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Yes, he has exhorted us, he has commanded us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. But praise God, today, again, he isn't just sending us out powerless. He isn't sending us out on our own and saying, right, I'm leaving it all to you. In fact, it'll only happen. The building of the Church of Jesus Christ will only happen, as I say, whenever we go out and we're totally dependent on him. He's the one who is all powerful. He's the one who is still all powerful today. He's the one who is still able, they're still building his church. He's the one who is able to build up this local church. He's the one who is able to take it right out into the whole community and to see people from every walk of life come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, are we not guilty at times? I've done it. Where we look at people and we think to ourselves, oh, we think of the sin. We think of the mess that they've made of their lives. We think of how they're so deep in the very gutters of sin. And we wonder, is there any hope for them? Oh, should we not be simply rejoicing that there is hope? Rejoicing rather than wondering, because today the Savior is risen. And all power is in him today, and he's the one who is able to transform the deepest sinner's life. Oh, today as we think of the resurrection, what's the whole implications of it? Well, it has authenticated Christ's ministry on earth. Say, he spoke of Calvary, he spoke of how he had risen from the dead. Every single word concerning that indeed came true, and therefore it tells us that we can believe with 110%, as we say, every word that he said whenever he was alive on this earth. But not only has it authenticated Christ's ministry on earth, it has also activated Christ's ministry in heaven. It has activated, say, Christ's ministry in heaven. Say, no good whatsoever would the Lord Jesus Christ be if he was still dead today. The great news, however, is that this is not so. He's alive, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and today he's doing certain or several important things. We don't have time to look at them all. Two, I really just want to highlight, because I base them on Hebrews 7 and verses 24 and 25. It says, but this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What are the two things I want to focus on? First of all, he's able to save today. That's his ministry from heaven today. That's his ministry in heaven today. It says, wherefore he is also able to, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. And see, that's why today we preach that you need to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because he's alive today, and being alive in heaven, he'll hear your cry and he will save you from all of your sins. And oh, today, that those of you who are not saved, that's what you will do today, that you will call out to him. Because as he's seated at the right hand of the Father today, there as he is alive, he's waiting and he's listening. Waiting and listening for you to call out to him to save you from all of your sin, to give unto you eternal life. To say, the wonderful truth is today that he will save you. Why? How do we know this? Because he saved many of us who are gathered here today. Many of us, how we had no hope. We were on the broad road that was going out into hell and into destruction. We were under the conviction of sin. Oh, how we were most miserable. But whenever we called out to the Lord, he saved us. He lifted us from that broad road. He set us on the road that has taken us home to glory. Oh, how the burden of our sin, it rolled away. It was completely taken out of the way. And oh, today, that's how we know that he is alive. Because of what he has done in our heart.
because of what he's done in our lives. And today the wonderful truth is that he will do it in your heart and in your life if you call out to him today. His ministry in heaven is one of saving the sinner. But then it's also one of succoring the saint. What do we mean by this? What does the word succor mean? Well, it simply means to come in aid of. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them." Hebrews 7:25, it says, "He ever liveth to make intercession for them." So what a promise for us who are saved. What a truth for those of us who are saved today, that at God's right hand there is one who fully understands what it's like to go through all the problems and the difficulties in life. And there he is today, and he's able to plead with the Father. He's able to pray to the Father on our behalf, and he's able to give us all the help that we need. Hebrews 4:14-16, what does it say? "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in need." What a truth today. What a truth today, that at the Father's right hand is the one who knows exactly what it is like to be hurt. Is the one who knows what it is like to be rejected by others. Is the one who knows what it is like to be betrayed by a friend. Is the one today who knows what it is like to have nails driven through his hands and through his feet. Is the one today who knows what it is like to have the greatest hurt, pain ever poured out upon him as he took upon himself the very punishment that we deserve for our sins. Maybe today you say, or you're going through some trial, through some difficulty, and you're saying today, "But nobody understands." Oh, today understand that he understands. Because as he lived in this world, to say there was no man who suffered as he did. And today, therefore, he is able to help us, and he is able to go with us, and he is able to give to us all that we need to get through the trials and the difficulties of life. The resurrection, time is gone. We think of how it has authenticated Christ's ministry on earth. It has activated Christ's ministry in heaven. And then finally, it has assured the Christian's mastery in the future. It has assured the Christian's mastery in the future. What do we mean by this? Well, it simply means that we do not need to fear death in the grave. John 11:25-26, it'll be read so much today. How lovely are the words where Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." 1 Peter 1:3-5, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And then 1 Corinthians 15, we were reading in verses 20-23, it was assuring us that Christ is risen from the dead. But what is it Paul said later on in the chapter? "Behold, I show you a mystery." Verse 51. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.'
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's only this morning, as I was sitting in the prayer time, I was thinking, indeed, of events over the past 2 weeks. I'm thinking of yesterday, thinking of sitting with a father who was only a week and a half ago diagnosed with terminal cancer. I was visiting him yesterday, he's at home, and family were coming and going, but came to a stage where a brother of mine, my eldest brother Paul, he's a Church of Ireland minister, rejoicing in God's salvation, and said it was just him and myself sitting there with my dad and with my stepmother Jane. Jean said to us, she said, we haven't done a reading yet today. And Paul and myself, we sort of looked at each other and we said, well, we'll do it. Jean went and got the wee book that they used, and indeed it was, the reading was focusing on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We were focusing on Joseph of Arimathea and what he did for the Lord, and then of course to say, focusing on the very fact that Christ rose from the dead. As we sat and we did that, as we prayed with my dad, we don't know how long he has left, it's very rapid, it's very aggressive. But what stood out in the midst of it all, was the wonderful hope that he has within his soul. That indeed, that as he looks and as he thinks upon death, that indeed he knows it's not going to be the end. He knows that at any moment in time that he's going to be with his Lord. That indeed that one day the body is going to be laid into Mother Earth. But then there's a day coming whenever, in that resurrection morning, that it's going to be raised incorruptible, undefiled. It's going to be immortal. It's going to live forever. As soul and body are reunited together, and he's given that brand new body, that indeed he's going to be with his Lord forever and ever. Oh, today it's not easy watching a loved one die. But oh, how lovely it is to be able to look into the face of a loved one who has known the Lord for 59 years. And knowing that very soon he's going to be beholding and seeing her face to face. What a difference the Lord and his resurrection makes in the moment of death. That is for those who are trusting in Christ. Because the best is yet to come. And oh, today, that for those of us who are trusting in Christ, indeed that we don't fear death, that we don't fear the grave, for we know that indeed, as Paul said, indeed to die, it is gain. For we go to be with our blessed Lord and Saviour. But oh, for those of you who are not saved, no hope. Because there you'll go to the grave and you'll go out into a lost eternity in hell. But oh, that it won't be that, because today you trust in the Saviour. Who's doing what? Waiting. And listening at the Father's right hand. And will save you today. If you come and put your trust in him. Let's all pray. Our time is gone. I do want that you'd be able to remain around the Lord's table if you're saved today and walking with the Lord. We'll omit our closing hymn. So I'll finish with a word of prayer. But do please stay for the Lord's table if you can this morning. Our Father and our God, we come this morning to thank you for the wonderful word of God. The wonderful word of truth, and indeed our Father for the wonderful truth that we read concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for all that it means to those of us who are in Christ today. Indeed, our Father, we thank you, Lord God, that whenever we called upon the name of the Lord, that the burden of sin was rolled away. That indeed, our Father, it was lifted, that the joy of salvation entered into our hearts. That indeed, our Father, we knew more than ever that indeed the Lord Jesus Christ, that he did rise from the dead. That he is indeed our Father,
that he is alive, that he's alive in our hearts, and he has totally transformed us. And Father, how we praise you today for all of the truths concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Lord, we pray for any, Lord, still not yet saved. We ask, our Father, that on this Easter Sunday, that they will come and put their trust in the one who died for them, and who has risen in triumph from the grave, and the one indeed who is waiting to save them from all of their sin today. Bless your word to all of our hearts, the wonderful truth of the resurrection. Bless those, our Father, who must leave us now. Take them to their homes in safety. For those of us who remain around the Lord's table, may you bless us as we continue to think upon Calvary, and indeed for all that has done for us. And we pray it all in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. And amen.